Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place, and has been for the last 12 years, as of today, where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. Today, in this episode number 547, I'm welcoming to the show Katherine Schwarzenegger Pratt.
I wanted to be able to share a story that touched on that, but also really touched on just the overall theme of getting back in the saddle and getting back up on the horse after you, you know, get thrown off, and that, you know, might take time for some, but really being able to work through your fears and not letting them paralyze you is really the goal of this book.
Katherine is a mom. She's a New York Times bestselling author, and she's here to talk to us about parenting faith and finding courage, especially when you're in the spotlight. And y'all, in 12 years of doing this show weekly, Katherine's probably the guest that I've had on who has the most fame connected to both the political spheres and the entertainment spheres. And I was a wee bit nervous, despite having done this for quite a long time. What's interesting is we're talking about overcoming fears and bravery because she has a new children's book called Cat and Brandy, which is describing a relationship she had with a horse growing up, and she'll share more about that. You'll also hear about her life growing up and what she appreciated her parents, what they did for her, and how she's carrying that into her own parenting. She even has some just reflections on mom life and some, not tips, but just what works for her when she gets overwhelmed. Encouragement for you. So let's get right to it. Here we go. Katherine, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I mean, pinch me twice. This is a big deal. I have a son homesick, and I was telling him what I was doing, and he's like, can you just tell her that I really like her husband, Chris Pratt?
Okay. It's always either my husband or
dad
or my brother or my mom. You know, there's always somebody that somebody likes. So,
I think you're fantastic.
Thank you.
And I also thought it was funny. I think the whole, like, who do you know and the fame and all of that, it's, you know, you've got the industry fame with entertainment, but then you have the political, you know, people know who your family is from politics. Yep. And I was thinking about my boys at the age your kids are. Uh-huh. And the only way they would have known you were somewhat famous is because of Jingle All the Way.
By the way, that's an underrated movie and
totally
one of the favorites that I've seen of my dad's. And also, I will say, that movie was like one of the only kid-friendly movies that my dad ever did when I was a child. So it was like one of the only sets that I was able to go to that was really fun. And also one of the only movies I was able to see growing up, because everything else he chose to do was like very violent and not kid-friendly. So thank you for bringing that one up.
Yes. Such a classic, y'all. If you're listening, it's coming up on Christmas season. Please put it on your watch list because it's so great. And it's so relatable even as a parent. But yeah, it's just like that whole kid perspective, which you grew up in and now your kids are growing up in. It's like they don't watch R-rated movies. No. They don't know who the president is. They don't know who governors are. They could care less. They're like, that's my mom. That's my dad. Exactly. Exactly. And so you're doing that. You're like second generation of doing this.
Yes.
And I would just love to hear, like, you're a mom of three little kids. How do you kind of protect that? Your kids don't know what they don't know, but you still have to make choices.
Yeah, for sure. They're young still. So, you know, my oldest is 5, and then I have a 3-year-old and then an almost 1-year-old. So they're pretty young. I would say that my parents did a really good job at protecting that and also protecting our privacy. My parents never had us going to events. We never used our last name because Schwarzenegger is a very weighty last name.
It's hard to spell, just so you know.
We really had a very normal childhood and upbringing, and that's something that's very important to Chris and I to be able to replicate with our children, of just, you know, allowing them to be who they are separate from Chris and I. And there are stuff that's inevitable that will come with that. But I think also being able to really allow them to have privacy and be as normal as possible because they're normal children. They're, you know, dad might do something that's different than another dad at school, but also you can be like the child of a really famous doctor or, you know, the child of the head of school or a teacher that's amazing or, you know, so there's always something with kids and growing up as the child of someone. But I think they're well equipped with not only my experience, but also both my mom's experience and my siblings' experiences. So they have a lot of resources to tap into.
And I just feel like you have experience. Like you know, we only know what we know, and you have experience doing that well. Like not everybody has that. They get in the limelight and they've never experienced that kind of pressure. So that's good. And I know we're going to talk about your amazing new book, but I was thinking about, because I grew up in Indiana, my dad was running for offices. So I was kind of in the political light, like having to go to campaign things and be in commercials wearing a sailor outfit. And I was really shy.
Yeah.
And it was really hard for me. They say I cried for a year. That's personality. And you're kind of put in these positions with personality.
Yeah.
Tell me about your personality. You're the oldest girl in your little group of family. And you're in this situation. Like, what was your personality? Were you loving it? Were you more shy?
You know, growing up, I think my mom would definitely have categorized me as being shy, on the shyer side. I would say probably my brother Patrick and I were the most reserved and shy out of the four of us kids. And I think I remember one year I was in fourth grade and I made it my New Year's resolution to come out of my shell.
Yes, totally.
And I definitely made an effort to kind of be more comfortable, you know, having conversations or not being so shy. I remember majority of my childhood, I hid behind my mom's dress and behind her legs and always hid under tables when I was little. I just like was not really into all of that. So, but when it comes to like politics, I grew up, you know, my grandma and my uncles, there was always some political aspect of my life growing up. We were always going door to door, you know, talking about someone or something, going to someone's campaign headquarters, doing something for someone, if it was a bill, if it was, you know, someone running for something. That I grew up around people running for things all the time. So it was a little bit different when my dad was doing it, just because I had been used to doing it mostly on the East Coast. I mean, my Uncle Bobby had done things here in Los Angeles and in Santa Monica. And then I had my Uncle Mark doing things in Maryland. So I was kind of like, I was well versed in it. And I felt comfortable doing it. It was something that was exciting for all of us to be able to go door to door. I don't think people do that anymore because the world is so crazy, but it was a really cool experience and a great thing to have growing up, and also really allowed me to learn what amazing things people in our family were doing and what they stood for and what they were passionate about. And also really taught me the power of being able to vote and what a privilege that is. And also, you know, something that's very foreign now, which is having differing opinions and also having respect for one another in that. So that was something I learned growing up in that kind of political landscape that I think was unique.
That's good. And I think we sometimes think we need to protect our kids from that, but it's actually the thing that helps them grow and become amazing people that do amazing things. And people may be surprised, I don't know if they are, but that you are a person of faith.
Yes.
I don't know if they're surprised by that. Sometimes people don't think people in entertainment or politics can be people of faith, and they can be. And I would love, I don't know your story. I don't know how faith intersected with your family, how you personally became a person of faith.
I mean, I come from a huge Irish Catholic family. So I've, you know, born and raised Catholic my whole life, going to church every Sunday. I, you know, grew up going to Sunday school, doing my first communion, my confirmation, all the things. My grandma and my grandpa were, you know, in church every day. I grew up with that being a big, very strict part of my childhood and upbringing. And as I've gotten older, I would say that I have a new and different relationship with faith and also going to church, still a part of my life. And of course, a place that my children also go to. And we've been lucky enough to get married and have our kids baptized in the same church that I was baptized in. So mm-hmm. it's a very big part of our life. And, you know, we say our prayers every day. We say grace. It's a big part of my life, our kids' lives, my husband's life, and also my siblings and my parents' lives. So, and my extended family. So it's definitely a big part.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love hearing about it. I think it's fantastic. Such a stabilizer when everything is cuckoo-cachoo in the world and you are getting pulled in so many directions to have that kind of
foundation. It's very important. It's important to have in life and I think also in your children's lives. And just to be able to see your children, you know, have your children watch you pray, watch you go to church, watch you and hear you talk about, you know, your faith. It's very important to us. So, yeah.
Yeah. Little kids talking about God is one of my favorite things.
I know.
Like, that childlike faith is what they talk about. You know, that is so precious to me. This episode is brought to you thanks to sponsors like Hiya Health. Now, for me personally, I want my child to take a vitamin, but I don't want him to eat all the sugar, the unhealthy chemicals, or the gummy additives that most children's vitamins have. That's why Hiya created a super-powered, chewable vitamin that has zero sugar and zero gummy additives. It fills in the gaps where I know my boys' diets may not give them the nutrition they need. It's formulated with the help of pediatricians and nutritional experts, and it's pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and so many more. It's non-GMO. It's vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, and everything else you can imagine. If you are tired of battling with your children to eat their greens, Hiya now has Kids Daily Greens plus Superfoods. It's a chocolate-flavored greens powder designed specifically for kids, and it's packed with 55 plus whole food ingredients to support their brain power, development, and digestion. You just scoop, shake, and sip with milk or any other non-dairy dairy beverage for a delicious and nutritious boost your kids will actually enjoy. Now, the same multivitamin that more than a million parents trust is now available with an enchanting Disney Princess Welcome Kit. With a new princess unboxing experience that includes a princess bottle and stickers. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/DMA. This deal is not available on their regular website, so go to hiyahealth.com/DMA. Get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Okay, let's talk about Cat and Brandy, though.
Yes, let's do that.
This is your new children's book, mm-hmm. and it is based on true story, y'all, of Cat is Catherine. You get called Cat by your friends and family?
I used to in high school get called Cat by certain people, but my mom is very big on no nicknames. Like my youngest brother is Christopher, and there's no shortening of Christopher. It's always Christopher.
And so when Christina, is that?
Christina. It's
no Tina.
Catherine, Christina, Patrick, and Christopher. There's no nicknames allowed for any of us growing up, but I had a couple friends in high school who would call me Cat. So that's where that name comes from. And then Brandy was my real life horse growing up. And yeah, this is just a really sweet story that I wrote that is based off my own experience with Brandy growing up. And she came into my life with a background and a story that was her own. And I came in with fears and we kind of spent a lot of time just working through that together. And so I wrote this story to, you know, honor that bond that I had with her, but also really to write a story about overcoming your fears, about bravery, about courage, And also to, of course, touch on the healing power of animals, because that's also something I'm really passionate about and love talking about. But it was really important to me to be able to put a children's book out there that talked about overcoming your fears, especially now as a mom myself. And I spend so much time reading books and reading them over and over again, and also watching the natural conversations that are sparked from reading certain books. So I kept that in mind when writing this book and wanted to keep in mind the conversations that would come from reading this book during it and also after. And all with the hope of being able to have a little child read the book and see themselves in the story, and also be able to ask questions about what to do when they're scared, how to work through their fears, how to be brave. And I hope that's this story really provides that and those talking points for parents and caregivers, and also allows kids to feel seen and heard in their journey and inspired to work through their fears.
So tell those who haven't read the book yet, what was your fear before you met Brandy that you were trying to overcome?
I mean, I was, you know, really scared of horses. I was scared of getting back in the saddle. I, you know, grew up around horses my whole life, but I was also very comfortable with just now at that phase, just brushing them and, you know, braiding their tails, and didn't really have any interest in doing anything but that. And it really took me having a great relationship with her, which took a lot of time because she came into my life with a past that was not a very great one. And so she was not friendly, and she was really head shy. She didn't let anybody touch her head. She was very, like, you know, frantic energy. And I came in having my fears, and it was really through a lot of time and patience and love and energy that we were able to get to a place where we both trusted each other. And looking back, that was, you know, a crash course in equine therapy, it seems. So I did that at a very early age, unbeknownst to me. So I think that there's a reason that you have, you know, equine therapy and emotional support animals and things like that, because they are such incredible creatures to have around us. And they provide us with a sense of calm that I think we can only get from being in their presence. And I've really been able to benefit from that. And I wanted to be able to share a story that touched on that, but also really touched on just the overall theme of getting back in the saddle and getting back up on the horse after you, you know, get thrown off. And that, you know, might take time for some, but really being able to work through your fears and not letting them paralyze you is really the goal of this book.
And I'm sure as an animal lover, you've read Black Beauty.
Of course, when I was little, all the time.
Oh my gosh. Classic. Y'all, go read it if you haven't read it. It's your kids. Don't you feel like, I don't know, as a little girl, riding a horse was like the dream?
Yes, for sure.
Out in an open field on the back of a horse, like, what could be better? And then the reality, the first time I got on a horse, I was like, this is terrifying.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like, it's, you know, a nerve-wracking thing, especially like, you know, you realize the power that these animals have and that they can really just like do whatever they want. So I always talk about, you know, animals big and small are a huge gift to have in our lives. So if that's like a goldfish or a rabbit or a horse or a dog or a cat, just any sort of animal presence is a huge gift and also really transformative. So I always like to remind people of that. You don't have to like get on a horse to have that healing energy or that peace brought to your life. And growing up, I was always like, I watched my mom ride and it was like this magical, effortless thing.
She's kind of glamorous. She's kind of glamorous.
And so I loved being able to have that experience and also the shared experience of having that as an activity that her and I did together. And I talk about that in this book as well. And then now I'm able to kind of have it with my kids, which is so beautiful and wonderful as well. And it's also wild to be able to see that, like, it seems like it's really a horse girl fall, because there are horses popping up, like, all the children's clothes have horses on them. There are horses in all the fashion houses and all of the stores I walk by. So I'm like, this book is really coming out at a very
very on brand. Very on brand. Perfect. Yeah. 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 The boots too. I felt like they were more like riding boots and
yeah, totally. No, yeah. It's very it's like an equestrian fall winter situation happening. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, what you're saying about the animals too, like, it doesn't have to be a horse. I remember David Thomas came on the show and he was talking about, they're big on dogs and their therapy practice in Nashville. And he was talking about teen boys and the need for a dog. And so come COVID, we sure did get ourselves a little rescue dog like everyone else. And it's incredibly true. I mean, I had four teenagers and there's something about them coming home and this being is so incredibly happy to see you. No matter, they don't know anything about your social media, what grade you got on your test that day, how badly you did in your sport. Like, they absolutely adore you. And just that affirmation from this being is so important in their getting through a hard season. And so anyway, if you're listening and you have teenagers and you don't have a dog, maybe think about it. Do y'all have pets? I mean, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we, I mean, I have my dog Maverick, who I adopted several years ago. He's almost 13 years old. He spends a lot of time now at my mom's house because he's in his older age, has gotten very unpredictable around children, which is interesting. So my kids are able to be around him. My dad has also a lot of dogs and miniature pony and donkeys. And then I take my kids to the barn. So they have their fair share of being around animals. Yeah. And we also have chickens. So that's been a fun new addition.
You don't homeschool. I mean, usually it's the homeschoolers with the chickens. You don't.
I do not homeschool. No, but I mean, that would be amazing to do that. But no, we have, yeah, we have chickens, which has been interesting.
Chickens. How many chickens do you have?
We now have two because we had, we ended up with a lot of roosters, unfortunately, which are not allowed in Los Angeles. So I found this amazing place where I could take my roosters and they could just like roam free. So I'm really happy about that. But we have two chickens left and they are giving us eggs now. So that's really exciting and great. Yeah, I know.
Are they being nice to each other? Because my friend had a bunch of hens and that whole like pecking each other is a real thing.
No,
like, it's like, gang up on one of them.
And, like, I know that part of it's very strange. Chickens are interesting. They're, you know, you can have really sweet chickens and then you can have ones that are like little cuckoo. And, you know, I guess it's just like with any animal.
It is. All animals have their own unique little
thing.
And I do think it is helpful like for kids. But in the stage you're in, as an older mom, I would say kind of wise to not. You've got a lot going on with 5 and 3 and 1 year old. Maybe don't need to throw in too much extra work.
I'd love to get another dog. And I'm always like of the belief that I would love to have as many animals as possible, but I want my kids to get to an age where they can also participate in the care of the animals. Because for me, that was a big part. My dad was very insistent on us kids being the ones to take care of our animals when we had them. So when we had rabbits or dogs or cat, any animal, that we had to be fully responsible for the animal. So when my kids get a little bit older, maybe like in a year, I'll be able to incorporate an animal that they can have full responsibility for. Because right now I'm the one that's cleaning the chicken coop and it's...
Oh, no. Mm-mm. We have an axolotl. If you want like a really super low maintenance pet, like he just needs a little cube of frozen bloodworms that you just pop out and you put in at the end of the day before you go to bed. And that's it.
See, even that, a bloodworm is just not, I'm not into a reptile situation, unfortunately.
Have you seen an axolotl? It's like a salamander that hasn't.
Yeah, no, I've seen one. Actually, my stepson showed me one and I was like, I don't even know what that is, but he showed me. It's like, it seems like that age group is very into those.
Because of Minecraft.
Oh, there you go.
So usually a video game. If you want to figure out, it's usually a video game.
That I know. I'm a little, I grew up with my brother playing video. My youngest brother played video games, but we don't do video games really like in our home because my kids are also so young, but my stepson's a little bit older. So I'm sure he has his own.
And how old is he?
He is 13.
I know. Hitting it. Prime but age. To me, 13 can be sweet. 14, not so much, but 13 is actually pretty 14.
Yeah, that is very sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're pretty sweet. This episode is brought to you by Bubs Naturals. I have been on the lookout for a good collagen option now that I'm aging because getting older is harder than you expect, right? One day you just wake up with stiff joints, recovery from the gym takes longer, my hair's thinning, my nails are breaking, my skin doesn't have that smooth, same glow anymore. It stinks, but it doesn't have to. That's where Bubs Naturals collagen peptides come in. Starting in your mid-20s, your body naturally produces less collagen every single year. And collagen is the protein that holds everything together. It's literally the glue of the body. With Bubs, you can help restore collagen levels closer to what your body naturally had in its youth. That means stronger joints, healthier hair, nails, smoother skin, faster recovery, and it's so easy to use. I just mix Bubs into either my morning coffee or smoothie, or if you do juice each morning, it's tasteless, odorless, and it dissolves instantly. It does not have clumps. I will attest. It does not have clumps, and it does not have any weird aftertaste. But here's what makes Bubs truly different. The brand is a tribute to former Navy SEAL Glenn Bub Doherty, a national hero who gave his life saving Americans in Benghazi, Libya. Glenn's call sign was Bub, and he was the kind of guy who always pushed for self-improvement and helped everyone around him. That DNA is woven into the Bubs brand. And to honor him, Bubs donates 10% of all profits to charity, starting with the Glenn Doherty Memorial Foundation. On top of that, Bubs is built to the highest standard. No junk, zero sugar, sweeteners, or fillers. It is third-party tested. It is certified for sport, Whole30 approved, and sustainably sourced from grass-fed, pasture-raised cattle. It is trusted by over 100,000 customers and was named Best Collagen of 2024 by health.com. And they don't just offer the cleanest and most effective collagen peptides. They also have electrolyte supplements, MCT oil creamer, and so much more. Live better longer. For a limited time only, our listeners are getting 20% off at Bubs Naturals by using the code DMA at checkout. Just head to BUBSnaturals.com, use that code DMA, and you're all set. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them our show sent you. This episode is sponsored by Policy Genius. As moms who are busy, Catherine has been talking about this, we have so much going on, and often we overlook protecting our financial future. We've got careers and kids and spreadsheets and all the things. And so 72% of Americans actually overestimate the actual cost of life insurance. But life insurance is a vital part of your financial wellness. And that's why I appreciate Policy Genius, because they make finding and buying life insurance simple. They make sure that your loved ones have the financial safety net they can use in case something happens to you, whether that's covering debts or routine expenses, or even to invest the money and earn interest over time. You can compare quotes from top insurers and find coverage that fits your needs and your budgets. See if Policy Genius can help you find 20-year life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. I feel like it's such a great option to have Policy Genius help you compare getting different quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks. You can even talk to their team of licensed agents. They'll walk you through the process step by step. They'll answer your questions, handle paperwork, advocate for you. They lay out your options so clearly, the coverage amounts, the terms, the prices. There's no guesswork. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. They have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. If you want to head over to policygenius.com, you can compare life insurance quotes and get the coverage you need. Because being financially protected, that's the ultimate self-care. Again, that's policygenius.com. My question about Kat and Brandy related to your oldest daughter. Has she gotten to read it? Like, or have you read it to her?
I actually have read different versions to both of my girls. And I have, like, you know, a built-in test group with them because I could see, like, what illustrations they like, what they don't like, what part of the story they like, what part resonates, what part lands, what doesn't. So I definitely, like, used them to facilitate the final product of this book, which was really sweet and a fun thing to be able to do this time around.
Yeah. And maybe let you know, like, what do I need to add or take away? And
yeah, I mean, that and also just like the illustration aspect. You know, I've learned so much in my years of writing children's books, and it's been really amazing because I've gotten to see, you know, what kids find interesting, what they don't, what kind of questions they ask, what, you know, what's also really entertaining for the person who's reading the book a million times to be able to enjoy. So I kept all those things in mind when writing this book that was different from my experiences writing my other two children's books. So I hope people enjoy it.
When you were little, did you want to write books? Was that one of your dreams, or this kind of happened?
You know, my mom always had us journal as kids. Like when we traveled, we always had to journal. It was part of our daily routine. And I, you know, sometimes would do it like groaning about it, but I loved being able to have my my journals. Now I have so many journals. And so I love being able to like pick one up and read about what I thought about going to a certain place at 8 years old, or drama with my high school boyfriend. Like I wrote all of that down. So it's a real gem to be able to have it. So I always loved writing. And I definitely think that my parents allowed us to spend a huge amount of time outdoors. You know, growing up in Southern California, we're lucky enough to be able to do that. And my parents really instilled in us that there's a lot of beauty in being able to be bored. And we get to use our imaginations and dream things up. And so I would often write down like a lot of random little stories and things like that. But I didn't say to myself, oh, I want to write books when I'm older. I just enjoyed writing. So that's how it kind of came.
Yeah, I get it. I was never like, I really, really want to write a book, but I would come up with stories. This is a weird part. We would go to cemeteries, my friend and I, and we would write down the names on the tombstones and then create whole stories about who these people were. But yeah, but I wasn't ever like, I want to write a book. I just loved the process of coming up with whole imagined scenarios. Okay, you're a mom of these three young kids. You have mom community. What does that look like for you? Because you're also, you know, writing books and doing all the things. And
you mean like mom community with other moms?
Like moms. Yeah. How do you stay connected? Because this is called Don't Mom Alone. So sometimes people think it's just about community. It's not. But what tips do you have? How do you fit it in? Because that's the question I get a lot when you have young kids. It's like, how?
I think for me, I have like a great group of mom friends that I really lean on. And I try to find like humor in most things. So that's like how my brain works and my coping mechanism works. So I try to find humor in a lot of things. I think having a great group of friends that are moms that can also like relate to certain things, like waking up five times in the middle of the night, or your kid climbing out of its crib, or the illnesses that are going around. That's always fun and interesting. For me, I would say a lot of also my community comes from my family. I live like walking distance to some of my family members and then just like 5 minutes from other ones. So I spend a huge amount of time with my family. And that's also incredibly helpful for me to be able to have them as my community and support system in my motherhood journey.
I love that. Do you ever get together like play dates with other moms and their kids? Or
oh yeah, all the time.
Yeah. Are you the instigator or do you get invited?
I'm mostly the instigator. I have a group right outside this door just jamming to some baby music right now. And I have called upon my new sister-in-law to take my youngest Ford to this music class so I can finish this.
That's awesome, because sometimes moms, I'm like, they're like, oh, I want friends. I want a friend group. I'm like, then ask people. Make it happen. And you didn't hesitate to do that. You were like,
I asked her this morning. I was like, listen, I need your help. Are you available? Because of course my brother had a million things to do, but no, she's great. So that's very helpful.
But even the concept of you being like, we're going to have this music class and y'all are going to come, like,
yeah, I love being, I think that I get that from my mom. I've always loved being able to like put groups together, put activities together. That's how our house was like that growing up. And so my mom was always the one like putting all the activities and things together. And we did a lot of it at our house and it was just like, everyone is welcome. The door is always open. And so I really think that's an important thing that I also like to have at our house.
So freeing. I know there's so many people that just like want that, but don't know how to start it.
Yeah.
You know, okay, before we go, if one of our listeners is sitting across from you, and they're just like right now feeling super overwhelmed with motherhood, maybe they're feeling those fears we were just talking about, and they're wanting to be brave. They're wanting to even do the thing that you just said you love doing, but it's hard for them. Do you have any words for her that you would say to her to encourage her?
I mean, as I mentioned, I try to find like the humor in things, especially when times are hard or challenging. That's how, like, I know not everyone works that way, but for me personally, I try to do that. I also try to just like get outside, like go on a walk, go outside, be in nature. Even if you're in a city, just go stare at like a tree, because the ability to just like have your whole system be reset by staring at something green or something that's like outdoors, get outside and do that. That's also a huge reset for me. And just give yourself grace, because, you know, there are, some days are harder than others. And yes, motherhood is a lot of work. It's also the best work. And I think that keeping that in mind, it's, you know, a huge gift to be able to be a mom. And it is hard sometimes. And being able to lean on your support system, whatever that looks like for you, is very helpful. But also sometimes it's challenging. So give yourself grace. It's all going to be okay.
Yeah. My husband once says, does any mom think she's doing a good job? I'm like, I don't know. Probably not. We just want to do so, so well all the time.
We do want to do so well. And I think it's important to also feel like you're doing a good job, because your kids pick up on that. And for me, it's like, there are a lot of days where I'm like, whoa, this is a lot, or I have a lot going on right now. Or like, I'm in a season where I'm about to come out with a book and I have a lot going on right now, more than usual. And so, but it's always important to keep in mind, like, doing a good job. It's like the goal.
Well, thank you for joining me today, y'all. If you didn't know, Catherine has a podcast called BDA Baby, Before, During, and After Baby. Check her out if you have young babies and you need more support. It's a great show. I already have 139 episodes and over a year and a half. Impressive. Very impressive. Thank you. Thank you for joining me, and great luck with this book. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, y'all, thanks for joining me today. And if you've been along for the ride the last 12 years, thank you for that. I appreciate you. I always appreciate when you share the show with a friend. And for those of you who like to stay connected with me via email, thank you for that. If you have never signed up to get an email from me, on Tuesdays, I send out a little note with some of my favorite things, maybe some recipes we've tried, maybe some outfits or home decorating, whatever tickles my fancy that week. But I always share a link to the show and what I love. So if you want to sign up for that, you just go to Ola Heather. It's Ola with an H, like Heather, H-O-L-A, olaheather.com, and sign up, and it'll come in your inbox on Tuesdays. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation, and I appreciate all she had to share, and I am going to pray over us. Lord, we know that you are a God who walks with us. And even if we're overwhelmed, if the mom listening today is overwhelmed, I pray that she would find peace and comfort in your presence, that she could ask herself what she is afraid of right now, and that you would help be her source of strength and bravery and courage. I pray that we would turn to you, that we could also see in the beauty of your creation, whether that's being in nature or being with animals, your care, that you care for us so well, and your beauty and your design and your creativity and all that we have around us. May we find just a peace and a calm in that. I thank you, Lord, for how you do guide us. I pray that we would continue to live by faith and not shrink back. And in all that we do and we say, we continue to turn back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Next week, meet me back here. We have a gal I've known for a really long time, but I've never had her on the show, and it was finally time to do it. Her name's Sandra Peoples, and she is coming to talk about how can we provide an inclusive church for families who have children with special needs. So if you have friends who have kids with special needs, or you yourself, please make sure that you are subscribed and you don't miss next week's episode. All right, have a good one. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.